When I was much younger and still in the seminary, I had a very wise old Vincentian priest who, as we were going through formation in our third year, right, we took our vows as deacons, he basically said to us, he said, you know, there are going to be times I'm going to predict when as a young man you're going to cry because you don't have someone to share your life with on your way toward the kingdom. And he said, when you get older, my guess is that you're going to cry from time to time at night because you don't have any children to share the later part of your life with. Full disclosure, I am a little bit weird. And so, I actually did that in a completely different order. When I was younger, I used to really ache because I was not going to have any children. I will tell you that probably, I never did run into somebody who really made me second guess whether or not I should have been a priest, because nobody ever came along that captured my attention so much that I thought, maybe you're the one I'm supposed to go hand in hand with on the way to the kingdom. That just never really happened to me. So for me, the celibacy thing, even though every 15 days it may not be so great, works pretty good for me for the last 33 years, okay? But that whole business about having children, and I will, in all full disclosure, now say to you that I'm cured of that now. I don't want children anymore, okay? But there was a time in my life when I really longed for them. There was a time in my life when I wanted to be them. Now I'm content to be the grandpa. I'm content to, like, you know, stir them up and hand them right back to you. And I'm good at that, okay? But when I was younger, and I think it was because my friends were having kids, and, you know, they were getting pregnant and, you know, having kids and going through that whole experience, and then I would share their lives and I'd hold their children and I'd get lost in those little lives, and there was just a part of me that really longed for having children of my own. Now, that wasn't part of God's plan, but because they were going through it and I was going through it with them vicariously, it really kind of tore me up when I was younger. I'll give you one of my favorite moments of that whole adventure. I was with my friends Ed and Donna, and Donna just had their fourth. And we were at the hospital, and I showed up, you know. And, you know, there we were, and I'd been with them every step away during the pregnancy, and, you know, all those kind of good things. And there we were in the hospital, and Donna had a thermometer in her mouth because one nurse had come in to get her temp. And then the other nurse comes in with the baby because it was feeding time. And as the nurse comes into the room with the baby, she looks at Ed and I, and she goes, okay, it's feeding time. Which one's the father? And Ed, as only Ed could have done, and said, Ed looked at her and he went, well, he's the father, but I'm the dad. Donna rips the thermometer out of her mouth, and she says, you too, stop it. Give the baby to him. And she put the thermometer right back in. But I loved those experiences. I loved feeling the baby kick. I loved listening to the heartbeat. I loved all those things. And my friends were so good to me to allow me to share those pieces that I could understand at least vicariously what was happening to them in their lives. And I got to share that because it was not part of God's plan for me to share that of having any children of my own. That first reading tonight, I learned when I got to high school, because you know when you're a little kid, you don't always hear everything, it all goes past you. But when I started to hear today's first reading, and we had one of these readings last weekend for our first reading, we had another one this weekend, we hear a lot from them during the later part of Lent and in Holy Week. These are what are known in the book of the prophet Isaiah as the suffering servant songs. These suffering servant songs are in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is, for his part, writing about what will happen when God restores the people of Israel, when God takes the people of Israel out of their slavery and brings them back to their homeland and restores them to their place of preference as his children. And in this way of seeing things, God also then, through this suffering servant, says, you'll pay a cost for doing all that. But not only are you going to proclaim that to my people, Israel, but you're going to proclaim it to the whole world. You're going to show the whole world that you are the light of the nations because you will show them that I am, and you will show them that there is no other. That set of psalms, the suffering servant psalms, also say something else that's very unique. And it's always important for us to remember this, and we don't reflect on it nearly enough in our lives. But that suffering servant is reminded that they were called to do this job from the very womb. That they're called to do this job, and they were called by name even before God created them in the womb. And that from the womb they are called to live out their call to mission, to serve God. Now, that idea is one that we do not reflect on nearly enough. That God had a plan for us, even before we were called by name in our mother's wombs. Before anybody else or anything else knew us, and perhaps even before our mothers even felt it, we were called by name for mission from our mother's wombs. Now, is that not an awesome and a mysterious thought? And we need to make that more a part of our playbook. When I heard that as a kid, I realized again that God was calling me to do something. And I'm here to tell you that everybody in here, if you think about the call as, oh, that's something only priests get or only religious get, then you're wrong. Everyone in here has a call. Every single one of us has a special call from God to follow him and to be in mission. And if you stop and think back to some of the best moments of your life, the moments when you were sure beyond anything else, those moments for some of you when you saw your beloved at the end of the aisle on your wedding day, and you knew you were doing what God wanted you to do, take that call and run with it. For some of you, when you gave birth to your children, and you looked in those innocent little eyes, and you thought, what a responsibility I've been given, and you knew part of what you were made for, to be parents. Sometimes that call didn't come because you carried them yourself in your womb, but you stepped in because whoever did carry them in their womb couldn't necessarily always do the job of a mom or a dad. And God, through that other mysterious way called adoption, suddenly brings new life into your midst and says to you, here it is. This is yours to care for, as though you gave birth to it, this child. And you knew that that was your awesome responsibility, and you took it and you ran with it. Or me laying on that cold stone floor at Sacred Heart in Florissant when I was fighting with God over whether or not he really wanted me to do this, and he said, do it anyway. And I got up off the floor and I said, yes. I took it and I ran with it. And the only thing that keeps me here some days is knowing that this is what I was born for. That it was God calling me before I ever had a name from my mother's womb and saying to me, this is my purpose for you. Now go and do it. If the world understood that, if the world knew that message, we would not be in some of the messy situations we're in now. This week is one of those weird weeks in the church where we're supposed to preach about this, and we're supposed to preach about that, and we're supposed to preach about the other thing. If I tried to put them all together, I'd be a schizophrenic preacher, okay? Because one of the things we're looking at is vocation awareness, okay? So be aware of your vocation. Be aware of the way you've been called. But this is also this week the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. Now, I'm telling you that we've done a lousy job of convincing people over the course of the last many years why life in the womb matters. And why should anybody listen to us when they think it's just an academic argument over who has what rights? We've got to convince them in a different way. And as far as you, if you ask me, it's not going to be done through the legislation. It has to be done through our convincing other people. Why? Because we're convinced that God called us by name in our mother's wombs. And when we start sharing that with other people, and they start to believe the truth that they were called from their mother's wombs, then even though the timing may not be right or life may be difficult, it becomes a whole lot harder to, you know, just kind of trump that little life when all life will matter. That's the way we need to convince people. Yelling at them and telling them they're horrible because they don't think the way that you do. How's that worked for us so far lately? I sometimes want to shake the bishops and say, you guys, just saying I'm right is not going to be what does it. We got to figure out a different way of talking to people. We got to figure out a different way of engaging people. We've got to remember that from our mother's wombs, we mattered. And if we got that message across to everybody and they realized that their life and their mother's womb mattered, we'd be having a whole different discussion in our world today. I think we stop and we see that God has a plan for us. We got two perfect examples in the other two readings this morning, or this evening, from, you know, first Paul and then John the Baptist. They too called from their mother's wombs to do a particular job. Paul always had religious fervor, but he got it wrong the first part of his life, didn't he? And instead of going out and proclaiming God's word, he was out trying to destroy the early church because he didn't see that Jesus was the Messiah. And so he went around persecuting the church and making sure that the early church actually was put to death. And so when Jesus finally calls him to be an apostle, Paul has felt guilty about it ever since. And so he's running with the same fervor that he tried to destroy the church. Now he's trying to build it up. And he's running around preaching and proclaiming Jesus to all who listen. And he's even writing letters backwards to places where he's been to remind them that they're called to be holy. All of us called to be holy. And as he greets them, he reminds them of their role in Christ. Paul was called from his mother's womb. John the Baptist, the same. You even remember, do you remember the conversation, if you will, that took place between Jesus and John the Baptist in the scriptures during the visitation? The babies, if you were, speaking womb to womb as they're leaping inside of each other as they hear in their mother's voices the presence of the other one nearby. John doesn't know what he's called for at first. He's out there preaching and he's doing his thing and he's watching the whole thing unfold. But did you think for a moment that he thought that it was his cousin that was going to be the Messiah? And so he then later says, he says, I didn't recognize the light when it came. But I kept looking and God kept showing me the light. And then I saw the light and then my job became to point out and to say, look, behold, the Lamb of God. Look, behold, the light of the world. He recognized his call and he began to live it out in a way that he could not deny it. Friends, that's what God calls us to be too. He calls us to be that light for the nation. He calls us to be that light that we point out when we see the kingdom as it explodes in front of us and say, look, behold, there is the Lamb of God. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be, each and every one of us. We need to remember that before we were born, we were called from our mother's wombs to be the suffering servant. For me, part of the sacrifice was that I was never really supposed to have any biological children of my own. That was a cost. But as I stand before you today, I know that I'm the father to many. And that's good enough. That's good enough. Because I know as sure as I stand here that as I do this with you week after week, I'm doing what I was born to do. Let us continue to search for our purpose that we've been given from before we were formed in the womb. And let us continue to serve our God with each other as a light to all nations.